The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running about that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Permian Basin Oil Show, the spectacular podcast party we have presented by the Wireline Group here in Odessa, Texas. We are honored today to be joined by John Mark Cavett, the CEO of Rigger. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Oh, thank you very much. Now, you're based out of Houston, correct?
Yeah, I'm in Houston. I'm actually from Midland, though.
Oh, you are from Midland?
Yeah, this is my hometown.
Friday Night Lights, baby.
Yeah, well, that's Odessa, but yeah, well, you know, more like, Lehigh and the Rebels. And
them be fighting words, huh?
Yeah, they are fighting words
okay,
out here.
Okay, I apologize.
Don't say it too loud. But
see, you got to be careful sometimes when you walk into some communities. You got to know the local culture because you just, you say the wrong thing. Anyway, thanks for coming out today and coming back to your hometown here. Great show that's been happening here, the Permian Basin International Oil Show. It's a spectacular show. How's it going for you guys? You guys are an exhibitor.
Right, we're an exhibitor. And, look, I think people have been waiting to get out. And there's so many exhibitors out here. It's a huge turnout. Really happy to see the community, I guess, appreciate the oil and gas industry here. And then all of the exhibitors, it seems like this is the one show they're doing. And so really impressed. And we've had a great show so far.
All right, let's get right into brass tacks. You got to go to a conference call. I got another interview lined up. Dave's, he's got an interview lined up. We got all kinds of activity happening here. So let's talk about the annual meetings going on.
Mm-hmm.
November, October, December. These are popular for annual meetings. The main conversation the Crude Life's having right now with the Texas Railroad Commissioner and others is $100 oil the new $50 oil? Because regulation costs are going up. Boy, you can't go to Walmart now, fill up your cart of $100 groceries without walking out being a $250 groceries. The Crude Life's not trying to poke a bear. We're trying to say, people, you need to figure out how to become more efficient next year, or it's going to cost you more than you ever know. And you guys are a solution to that problem.
Right. The one thing that we haven't seen in this, we service the service companies. Rigger is a software provider for the service companies. And one thing that has not happened, even though we've got $100 oil, is the margins have not increased for the service providers. And so they're still struggling. They're still waiting to see the benefits of this high oil price. And so, though we can expect some real increase next year in 2022, just with shareholders wanting the capital to go back into their pockets instead of increased activity, it's still going to be a tough year for margins. And so Rigger, it helps save on headcount growth because, it's hard to find people right now to do jobs. And so we're part of that efficiency. We believe that we save our customers lots and lots of money just in knowing where their assets are and knowing how much money they're making every day, increasing their liquidity by shrinking their DSO. We're part of that process for sure.
So talk to me about some of the services you have, because I know you guys have a whole suite of services, and the one that really catches my eye is the one that's out in the field, the digital tickets, I think, or something along those lines. Now, I know that you're the CEO and you're the 5,000-foot view guy, so you might not get into the nitty-gritty and all that other stuff, but talk to me about some of those different services that you guys have. And like I said, the one that caught my eye was that kind of that daily ticket.
Well, I've run service companies my whole career, and the hardest part of our job is tracking that company man down and getting him to sign that ticket. And it's kind of it's a ploy. I don't know, but there's just such hard workers. And so this way, we're able to digitize that process. It speeds it up. That digital field ticket also provides a way for you to put everything that you do out in the field attached to that ticket, whether it's your personnel cost or whether it is your cost of materials, and that way you can have you can track like a daily P&L even if you wanted to down to the job. So that field ticket, that digital field ticket, is really the core, the foundation of that digital oil field as far as we're concerned.
One of the other things that is happening, of course, is the ESG talk and all these other things. People, when they think of the digital side of things, they don't necessarily think of ESG or environmental or a lot of those XYZs, if you will. And what I'm starting to see, and I started noticing this about 3 years ago, is this digital world that we're into and big data allows you to see the 5,000-foot view from a 5,000-foot view. Mm-hmm. And that's really how you become more of an ESG certified or ESG environmental, because now you have more of the information. It's almost like you become more transparent with your company. It's almost like you're doing an internal audit, you know, getting the digital world involved and things along those lines. I didn't mean to get a little existential with you this morning, but go ahead.
I mean, ESG is, it's big, right?
It's
a big force, and the institutional investors that are in the space, those that are still in, they're requiring their companies to cooperate with this whole ESG story. We're still not really sure what that is, how to quantify that. What we do know, it's going to require data. And so it means digitizing everything. And so, you know, rigor, I think, is part of that. And of course, there, you know, all of our customers, there's plenty of inefficiencies out there that contribute to environmental impact, let's say. And I mean, as far as the social side of things, I think that the oil and gas business is just 10 out of 10 on social. I mean, they're such great contributors to the community. They don't take anything for granted. Also, governance. I mean, most of these companies are run by institution, I mean, whether it's private equity or what. So the one that we struggle with is the environment, because, you know, we're tied to hydrocarbons. And so, you know, I don't know one company that's not trying to improve their carbon footprint right now.
So one of the things we've been saying quite openly at this conference specifically, as we've started a new kind of a brand called ESG University, ESGU, and it's to try to help get control of the narrative that's being happening. Because for one, we have to educate the industry on it's out there. We're on the 1 yard line, 99 yards to go. We're in the first quarter. The refs haven't brought the ball out yet or given us the rules, but the game's already started. Economies are already being impacted. Companies are not getting loans because ESG scores are already available on Yahoo Finance and other places. So what we're trying to tell people is, number one, get a hold of that narrative before it gets out of hand, out of your hand. Number two, there is a little bit of a story that needs to be told with oil and gas. I don't think they need to be afraid anymore. The only I agree with you on the environment, and this is where I want to get back to. The humans, as a species, have been decarbonizing for 150 years. This is what we've been talking about in the crude life. We started with hay and wood, and we went into whales. I mean, we went into whales, okay?
We weren't exactly good stewards of our environment, right?
The people in power were creating rules to get more whales, okay? That was the people in power. And then we went to coal, and then we went to crude oil, and then we went to natural gas. So we went from, you know, thousands of hydrocarbons down to 1 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good over a 150-year period. So the last 150 years since Abraham Lincoln, we've been decarbonizing as a species long before the Sierra Club came along, long before Greta Thunberg came along. So all they did is what a lot of these special interest groups like to do, is jump on a movement that's already happening.
It's called capitalism, okay? and so capitalism will solve the problem for us.
Absolutely.
Right? We don't need more regulation. We don't need any of that. Capitalism will, I mean, it's the efficiencies that are gained from decarbonization improve profitability. And so it's the capitalism will help us get there. That's going to be the driving force for the E part of it. And so I'm not worried about that. You are right, though. It's about the messaging. And so we could do a better job for sure. But we're in hydrocarbons. You know, the world it needs energy. It needs our energy. And so we've grown used to, in my opinion, of just kind of, you know, not being the favored child. However, you know, we're necessary. And we're glad to serve the world in providing the world with energy, you know, even if they don't appreciate us, I guess. And so I think that we're probably one of the best industries that is driving, you know, decarbonization compared to many other industries out there. And of course, I can't quantify that, but I just see it with my friends in industry.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio@thecrudelife.com.
I looked over me and I caught some feelings. Saw a couple things that I really liked, but you got caught up in the big daydream. It's what you don't say. It's like a pretty black Cadillac with no brakes. It's like your girlfriend lying to your bold face. I'm just a side chick laying down a cold case. And you were singing my praise, saying I'm magic.
Folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Permian Basin International Oil Show. It's the spectacular podcast party brought to you by the Wireline Group. My name is Jason Spies with The Crude Life. We are being joined today by Jay Stanley of Jay Stanley Photography. How you doing today, sir?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Doing excellent now. You're a photographer. I understand you've had experience in the magazine cover world, huh?
Indeed.
Talk to me about some of the highlights of your career, if you wouldn't mind. Bullet points. Just give people the context, what kind of life you've had as a journey.
Well, it's been a heck of a journey because of the changes that have gone on in the industry since I've been in it. My main focus was fitness photography for fitness athletes. The highlight of that would have been publishes in Flex Magazine and Muscle and Fitness and things like that. Those are really exciting.
Isn't that neat when you're a photographer? I'm a writer, so when my first time I got in a national magazine, my mom was not alive at the time, but I wish she was, because she was the first. I picked up the phone to call my mom, and I thought, oh, you know, I'm just. But that's the type of, almost like it's a youthful honor or just something. Anyway, it just brings out the kid in you.
Yeah, I guess you'd call it the childish
adolescent excitement. Let's
go
with that.
Pretty much.
Right.
Yeah. So, and actually my very first major publish was the year my mother died as well, so I understand totally.
I didn't mean to.
She wasn't around there for it, so.
Didn't mean to bring
No,
it
just, that's just the way life goes, you know.
Into the personal Jerry Springer show here and get into some wildness.
That's the way the life goes.
Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now. You know, my understanding is you've got quite a history with a number of different, you know, from models to athletes to all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
The oil and gas industry is going through a paradigm shift, okay? So the horizontal drilling and the fracking and that sort of thing has created this paradigm shift along with big data.
Right.
That's something you get.
Yeah, absolutely.
The technology completely changed. I was in the publishing world in magazines teaching newspapers how to navigate the 1 versus 5 megabyte cameras back in the day and why you need to hire professional photographers and things along those lines. So tell me about kind of the paradigm shift in your industry as it happened, because I think there's a lot of oil and gas executives that'll like to hear this.
When I very first started, I was coming from, I never really got into the film world. I was in the early years of digital. But I watched some of the people that I kind of looked at as not really heroes, but people I looked up to that didn't make that jump very well. So there was a wedding photographer that I really, just because of who he was in the photography world for 20, 30 years in the West Texas area, I looked up to him, and he didn't make the digital jump well at all. So I made sure that I was always going to stay on the cutting edge of technology because I didn't want to get left behind like that. And I'm now to the point in technology where, like, my children are showing me things on my computer. But the way, you know, your post-production has changed, and the biggest change now is keeping ahead of what your cell phone can do, photo-wise, with filters and social media. You've got to stay unique. You've got to stay eye-catching versus what they can do with their own cell phone cameras, because who's going to hire you to take a photo that they can do on their phone?
Back when I was in it, a medium format camera was the preferred choice for the cover shot because of the size.
Of course.
One guy used to bring the old box camera because that's even better than the medium format.
Right.
I think they're the same in some regards. But the reason I bring up this paradigm shift that happened in photography is because it also happened in my world, which is publishing. The internet came and it wiped out us newspapers, magazines, and you were one of the ones that were impacted by that.
Indeed.
Photographers used to have a very good job from old publishing, okay?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, every soccer mom in America got a camera, a point-and-shoot camera, and now they're a photographer, too.
Indeed.
So the encroachment came in out of nowhere because of the advent of technology.
Right.
I'm sure you spent a year or two complaining and bitching and moaning like I did, okay?
Of course.
But eventually you got to pull up your bootstraps and say, how am I going to figure this out and get ahead of these guys? Because I got the intellectual property to step ahead of these guys.
Right.
Talk to me about that a little bit. I know you just did, but, you know, let's just keep this conversation going.
That's the main thing now is keeping your look, as far as the photos go and video, ahead of what can be done with a filter and a cell phone. You know, and that can be anything from the settings that you're using to composure to connections into different places where you can shoot that a person just can't get access to with their camera phone and their selfies. Some of them are growing so big you just can't compete with them at all, you know. But for the most part, if you build a kind of a culture around your particular look, your style, then you can have people want to participate in it and be a part of it. But yeah, it's a constant moving target. You always have to be one step ahead of that.
Oh, sorry. How are you navigating social media? I mean, it's a, you know, there's a lot of pros and cons, and you know, and when you come from media, you have, for me anyways, headlines, misspellings, grammatical errors irritates me.
Right.
And I've got a good friend, a photographer, irritates him in all kinds of different poses versus...
Oh, right.
Talk to me about the world of social media, good, bad, ugly.
With social media, as soon as I started making a business out of photography, Facebook started out becoming the thing to do. That grew old. Instagram came out. When Instagram came out, I had a big explosion of following. That's kind of now organic following in Instagram is now pretty much gone. Most people are paying for followers just to have a big number. It's evolving now to, well, it's evolved now to TikTok. And I'm not very good at making a TikTok video because I don't do selfies of myself doing the same dance everybody else does. So there's always that. I don't know where it's going next. I'm always trying to keep an eye on where it's going to go from the TikTok to what next. What's going to, you know, you'll see big celebrities always trying to come up with the alternative version of whatever social media is hot at the moment. And they'll never do it because it's just an organic growth thing with the youth.
Exactly.
And the youth drives everything. I've told so many people I've worked with, once you hit 18, you run the world. You're young, you're beautiful, you run the world. Understanding the responsibility of that is the hard part.
Well, when you're 30, it starts going downhill.
It does, absolutely.
You're 40,
yeah.
They just shut down.
Oh, yeah. They're like, Dad, quit being weird, you know?
I used to laugh because when I hit 40, you could literally see people shut down. They don't even care if it's 41 or 49. As soon as the word 40 comes out of your mouth, they just shut it down.
Like, no, yeah, Grandpa, sit over there.
Anymore.
Exactly.
Whatever. Go back to,
go back to
the 70s yet. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just interesting to me that it's happening. Social media, though, is changing the way we work. It's changing the way we treat people, too.
It is. You're right. It's interesting to watch how, I guess you would call it independent media now, is taking down the big old legacy media existence, period. You know, be it YouTube, be it Facebook Live, or whatever your flavor is, it's almost impossible for legacy media now to exist. And I've watched it in the photography industry. So I'm sitting there watching how they're paddling out in waters that are not in favor of them at all. And they're never gonna get through it. We all know that.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
The Crude Life with Jason Spies.
You remind me that I'm not in control. I'm out of control, man. You know, I think that I'm better alone. But you're keeping me open. And what I see in you is shutting the door. You already know that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Permian Basin International Oil Show. This is the podcast party, and we're actually on a remote location right now, away from our booth. We're being joined by Zach Bowman. He's the CEO of Innoverse, and how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Jason.
Now, Innoverse, that is a couple partial words, I understand, but I've never seen it together in one whole word before. So let's talk about the name of the company and what it does.
Okay, so the way we came up with Innoverse was we felt like what our solution comprised of innovative solutions for the oil and gas industry and for the universe. So we combined the innovative and universe and came up with Innoverse.
Great. All right. So you mentioned flaring. You mentioned emission management. So we have to go to the next question of the ESG and some of the other things that are happening now. You know, we've got these ESG task force that the SEC has now got last March. They started. So a lot of this ESG, environmental social governance, has already started, whether people know it or not. The actual top thing on the ESG list is flaring. A lot of people think it's planting trees because that's the low-hanging fruit. Meatless Monday, let's have a recycling, you know, center in our cafeteria. That's like entry-level stuff. What you've got is the main event, what the government wants to get a hold of right away, which is the flaring. And for me personally, I get the idea that it doesn't look good, but I'm more concerned about those mineral owners getting paid, by the way.
Yeah, so that's an interesting comment there at the end there. So, well, you know, with ESG, we do see the flaring at the top of the list. Obviously, why is that? You know, planting trees takes a long time. Stopping flaring is an immediate visual component that you can actually see, that you can put your hands on and understand that when you stop the flaring, you're eliminating the emissions into the environment, which, as we know, a lot of the politicians out there now today are focused on you know, carbon capture, CO2. You hear those buzzwords a lot. And you know, that's where we kind of fit into that ESG mold with our flare mitigation and our carbon capture. So that's what our focus is. And then you have the gas component, right? So there's several different ways. You know, you have companies out there that are mining Bitcoin. They're rigged up or hooked up into gas pipelines. They're using a ton of gas to run their supercomputers. That's not our niche. That's not our market. Our market is identifying spots in the Delaware Basin, the Permian Basin, the Bakken, the Eagle Ford, different areas that gas is stranded. There's nowhere for it to go. There's no takeaway, or there's no sales line, or there's too much gas in the line already. There's nowhere for it to go. So we want to rig up on those particular sites. And rather than flaring it, we want to put our flare mitigation, which then converts that gas into grid-friendly electricity. And I want to expound on that. We're not saying grid-friendly in the manner that we're going to go run your pump jack. Yes, we can do that. Our patent technology actually allows the power to go to the grid to power homes and businesses. And I can talk more about that. I can tell you exactly the capacity of our units and what it means, you know, apples to apples for human beings, for businesses, and for households, and how that kind of relates to real life running out of power supply and times like we had in Texas last February.
Let's talk a little bit about the different shale plays for a second, and then we'll get to how you can keep the power on. Because, you know, when I look at the Bakken and I look at, you know, say Texas, whether it's we'll say Haynesville, those are two completely different shale plays. The Bakken's got what's known as a wet gas, where you got pentane, butane, methane, all kinds of different anes in there. And then you got dry gas, which really only has a couple different gases. So, and then you got temperature differences too. So like when I talk to the Bitcoin guys who are trying to, you know, figure out a emission management flaring solution, they can't do anything south of the Mason-Dixon line because it's just the temperatures are too hot. Talk to me a little bit about the wet gas, dry gas with the different shale plays, if that impacts you or affects you guys at all, and just some of the, you know, the obstacles that you're seeing, whether it's acceptance from the operators, whatever it might be.
Yeah, so good question. You know, we're like I think you probably know, we're relatively new. So we had our soft launch was really yesterday. We are currently rigged up in the Barnett Shale. So what the unique thing about the Barnett is, we're actually rigged up on four different wells in a certain amount of distance, and we're piping that gas to ourselves. So we see a wide range of gas. Now, is it comparable to what we'll see from the Bakken down to the Delaware or to the Haynesville? Probably not. So, you know, one of the things about our technology is we're flexible and we're able to adapt to that gas. Paul, he walked away, he's our CTO. He has got it kind of dialed in to where between our scrubbers and our pre-patented technology trained system, we're actually able to use pretty much any gas that comes to us. Once we get that gas, then it goes to our unit, and then we're able to then send it to the grid. The difference is our technology is a little bit different from the turbine systems and the systems that are using massive amounts of gas that you're speaking of with, you know, the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency mining, since we're doing a different application. So to answer your question, as it stands, we have to adapt. Wet gas, dry gas, noxious gas, or H2S, we have to adapt to those different things. And sometimes we will have to strip that out and get the gas to where we need to be. We're currently in discussions with companies that are going to help us on the liquid side to strip the liquids out and then feed the gas. But we really have no limitations with regard to the type of gas that we're feeding into our system.
So here we are, it's October right now as we're speaking, and for me, I like to say, based on my observation of this industry, October, November, December, one or two of those months are kind of when they go and make their decisions or annual meetings, and then they manage for the next 10 to 11 months those decisions that they make. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have some petty cash money or some, we'll see if we can't get a lower cost, you know, new business thing going. They do. They got some of that. But the majority, like 90% rough numbers, that's already taken care of. So they're managing things. What do you want those decision makers to know in the boardroom, in the annual meetings, that you can do for them? Because right now, they have a lot of problems. They got problems from PR, emission management, right, left, hook, uppercut, down, you name it, man. They got a lot of balls being thrown at them.
So that's a great point about the funding and the budget. So what we feel like where we fit in is we're not going after pipeline gas. So what the decision makers that have issues with flaring, that have, you know, 50 MCF a day to 250 MCF up to, you know, 500 to 750 MCF a day of flare gas on certain pad sites or on leaseholds, we want to identify with those folks. We want to sit down with them and we want to go over our technology and show them that not only can we reduce or eliminate their carbon emissions, we can also potentially give them a benefit back, whether that be running a pump jack or giving them part of the revenue stream from the electricity. So what we also feel like ESGs probably fits into a little bit different category than, say, drilling rigs, frac crews. You know, we have a couple different companies in the industry that are service industry oriented, and we feel like ESG fits in a little bit different. Is the money going to be completely gone? Maybe not, but maybe a lot of it is gone. But what we want decision makers and folks that are at the top that charged with capturing the carbon, eliminating the flaring, or the ESG programs, we want to sit down with them and show them the product that we have, the technology on their site, to prove up what we have, what we say we can do, and show them that not only is it a benefit to the environment, but we can also potentially help their bottom line as well, which is unique to the flare mitigation as itself and ESG. Most of the time, it's going to cost them a bunch of money. We want to show them we might be able to help them mitigate the cost by offsetting it, by giving them some of the revenues back. And we're ready to go. We're ready to go, you know, across the ocean if we need to, because we feel like this is going to be a benefit to a lot of those grid-starved locations.
Well, this whole movement is global, and it's starting in America like most things do, right? And so we're going to keep moving and moving and moving. At the Crude Life, we actually, my morning show host, when we did the morning show, grew up in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia. And he's part of the Aramco Brats network. And that was specifically why we brought him in, was to open our doors to Aramco. Absolutely, because we saw next year, if you're not doing international oil, you're probably a step behind, buddy.
I'm with you 100%. I'm with you. We're ready to go.
And that website one more time?
It's www.innoversetech.com, InnoverseTech.com.
Zach Bowman, thank you very much. We'll make sure we have the links available at the Crude Life as well on this show page.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com. Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio@thecrudelife.com.
Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly. $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line. Till I met you and I hit the ground running.
When
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Permian Basin International Oil Show, the spectacular podcast party presented by the Wireline Group. We have got Dr. John Spires with us, Republican for Texas Land Commissioner. How are you doing today, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, and it is great to be here with like-minded people.
Well, I appreciate you coming out here. First of all, doctor, let's get to that first.
Yeah.
What are you a doctor of?
I am a heart surgeon.
Oh, no kidding.
I was. I came here and trained with Dr. DeBakey, practiced for years, loved it, got hurt. Let me tell you a secret. Nobody wants a one-handed heart surgeon.
Nope. Nope. Not even with robotics.
No, not at all. But you know what you do, especially here in Texas. When you get down there and life has thrown you a curve and you hit that ground real hard, you got a mouthful of dirt.
That is exactly. Sometimes you just got to keep going.
You spit it out and you find something else. I think you've got a story like that too.
You know, Mike, we talked off the air about my colon cancer survival story, and we talked more about the actual system than anything else.
Absolutely.
And we can get in that for another day for another podcast, but it's nice to have an actual doctor who understands the impact of policy, understands the impact of humanity. I mean, doctors, I have a whole new respect for nurses and doctors than I ever did through my journey of my cancer survival, because quite honestly, the box that's developed by the system can really restrict somebody's mental, spiritual, and personal freedoms.
Absolutely. And you know, they're really trying to do this to us more and more. And when I got hurt, I went back to law school. And so many people, as we're engaged, we're studying the law and the intricacies of the law. For me, it was an epiphany. I learned that the laws are supposed to do many, many things for us, but instead they allow nameless, faceless bureaucrats to do things to us and to control us. And so that's a real challenge. And in fact, right now, to think that we have so many like-minded people here trying to power not only the United States, but the world, that they drive this huge energy production that we need, that have taken us out of the Dark Ages, the Stone Ages, to modern world. It is so exciting to be here, but it's very frustrating to know people are trying to clamp down on it. You're the climate warrior here, right? You took them down.
Mm-hmm.
You showed them that
Earth's
they are
champion,
Earth's
baby.
Champion.
Johnny Green.
That's
that's his name, Earth's champ.
But you see, that's what we've got to do. We have to be prepared to take the battle to them, because they're trying to destroy our way of life. They're trying to destroy our future. They're trying to reduce us to a level that we fought so hard to rise up from. That's the problem.
And
we want to elevate
people.
Today,
we are talking about the people that are making decisions in the shadows.
In the shadows.
People are in the private rooms making the decisions for their appointed leaders, if you will.
I will. I agree.
So I want to ask you about the land commissioner role, because up in North Dakota, we've got an ag commissioner.
Correct.
We've got a public service commissioner. You've
Correct.
Got a Texas Railroad Commission that monitors everything, and they actually do railroads still. But what does the land commissioner do?
Well, you know, the Bureau of Land Management is the federal agency that manages federal lands. But when Texas joined the Union, when we allowed the United States to be a part of Texas, we like to push that way,
mm-hmm.
we kept our public land. And so the land office in the state of Texas is responsible for all the public land.
I didn't even know that.
That's a trick. See,
are you for real?
I'm for real. We own the public land. The citizens of Texas have about 13 million acres. We have about 2 million acres offshore. Other states can go out of just a few miles. Texas goes out 10.35 miles out into the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Texas has a lot of land. To give you an idea of how much land that is, the state of West Virginia is about 15 million acres. Delaware, where this guy, what's his name? Joe Biden, where he's from.
Who's that?
Some guy on TV. He's got a set. He's got a show.
I got rid of my TV in 2006, so I'm not even sure.
You actually are smarter than most, just for that reason alone. So they have like 1.575 million acres. State of Texas has about eight times as much public land as that entire state. So, yeah, we've got a lot of stake.
Well, we're from North Dakota. We've got a lot of private land
right
up there. And so when I was we do a lot with the Native Americans here at the Crude Life, MHA Nation primarily.
Right.
And we had either we'll say David Williams, the CEO, president of Missouri River Resources.
Yeah.
I apologize if I forget if he's the CEO or the president, but he's one of the decision makers.
He's a wheel.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's a big wheel.
He pointed out to me something very interesting, that when a private company goes into North Dakota, in 3 days, they got a lease. They got a permit ready to go. When a Native American company goes in there to try to drill on some federal land through the BLM,
right,
it's a 49-step process that takes 6 to 9 months. You want to talk about a level playing field. Holy cow, did that open my
exactly.
eyes. So Senator John Hoeven, along with a number of other Western senators, came in and made this streamlined system. I think out of Denver, where it ended up. But wow, I mean, when you start thinking about that perspective, that a private company can come in with private ways, 3 days versus the government? Whew.
And it is a shame. Here in Texas, we are trying to make the land office here even more friendly, because we know our partnership with oil and gas producers is so important. That's a large part of what the land we manage goes for. We lease it for oil and gas production, but we also have things like beryllium, a rare earth element. We have uranium. We have gold and silver. And so we try to maximize our resources and preserve the land for the people of Texas. I mean, what's wrong with making money that's going to go to educating our school kids and protecting Texas? And of course, we do some other things like protect our border, and we honor our veterans and our beaches. We help with disaster recovery. All of those are important.
You know, it's interesting how we talk about the land. When it comes to agriculture, corn, cotton, soybeans, we call that a natural resource, and we have no commodity. We have no problem harvesting that. When we start trying to harvest things underground, that seems to be an issue for some people out there. It's, you know, and I look at it no different. That farmer that has the right to grow crops, he's got every right to go under and harvest that natural resource too. Not everybody agrees with us on that, but
well, you know, a lot of folks, they are so adamantly opposed to the very thing that has made us into the great nation that we are, that has given us this opportunity. If you tried to build an electric car without using fossil fuel, good luck. It's not going to happen. You know, the microphones that we're using right now have components in them that are manufactured from petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
The cell phones that people use, you know, you look around in kids, they've got their cell phone out all the time. If you took away the oil and gas industry, it wouldn't be there. Not but just because of the power. The power is important. But because of the chemicals that go into it, where do they come from? They come out of the ground, people.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com.
They keep telling me it's only a phase, and that soon enough I'll see that I'm crazy for loving you the way that I do, because you could love somebody like you. They say you're too damn small, and I won't pretend it don't matter at all. But no matter what the trouble ahead, I still regret this time that I spent. Sad to be a hold, nothing you could do would make me.
Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly. $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.